morning, Mallorca. Santa Ponsa Community Church family, this is, church online. That's our toll in life at the moment. This is what we are doing. We are unable to gather together because of safety procedures, quarantines, and for us to be able to not pass this virus around to people, and also that we ourselves will not get it. So it again, this is unprecedented. We are going through very interesting times, very devastating times, both physically, emotionally, and financially. This is going to be incredible. Today in Italy, 800 people died. Today, just in one day, 800 people died. All hotels in Spain are closing within a week. The numbers of infected people are growing all over the world. Towns are shutting down. Countries are shutting down. People are panicking, and I think it was in Ecuador or in Bolivia. I forgot which one it was. An empty Spanish plane went to land to pick up Spanish citizens, and the mayor put cars on the runway so the plane would not land out of fear of being infected. And it's just unbelievable what is going on. And we have to hold on. We have to keep in fellowship. We have to keep in touch with one another. We have to keep informed. But most of all, we have to just do what we've always done, which is trust the Lord, walk with Him, enjoy Him, and walk through this incredible difficulty with Him. I do apologize for my voice. I woke up like this morning. If I have something, it's a good thing that it could not be passed through the phone. But, this whole thing is making people think. It's making people think deeply about life. It's making people think about how frail we are. I am amazed at how this is the smallest Goliath I've ever encountered. It is an invisible cell, and yet it has brought countries to their knees. And Psalm 103 speaks about the fact that God knows, He remembers, He has compassion on us because He remembers that we are dust. But I believe in many ways that we don't remember that we are dust. We often don't realize that. We've enjoyed years of ease. The last serious thing we had was, in 85 or 9/11, which were terrible things, but nothing like this. The closest thing to this is probably the Second World War. And, it is a wake-up call in many ways. It is a wake-up call for us to realize, what's life about? When the things that we hold on to are removed, what remains? And, I was thinking about this, and the reality of our frailty has been seen. The Bible always speaks about these things. You think of Belshazzar. You think of Babylon and that great city. And it was impenetrable. The walls were huge. And yet, that man sort of ignoring God and having a party with God's vessels from the temple, and sort of thinking that he was untouchable, that nothing could ever happen to him. And all of a sudden, the expression which we always use, that the writing was on the wall, literally the finger of God came upon the wall and began to say, you've been found in the balances, you've been found wanting. And in that day, he began to shake, his vows began to be loosened, and he was just terrified. And in one moment, from one moment to the other, his life was at stake. And sure enough, that city that they thought was unconquerable was conquered. If you were to tell me a month ago that New York City will be paralyzed, or that California will be quarantined, or that Palma Airport will be shut down, or that all hotels, when Spain lives off tourism, that they would shut down, I wouldn't have believed it. And yet a little virus that spreads like faster than gangrene has and is bringing countries to their knees. Job was who Kanye West has been referring to before. He thought it was a job, but Job in the Bible, how he had his wife, and he had his children, and he had his wealth, and he had his cattle, and he had everything. And within a few days, his family and his possessions were wiped away. And then his health was wiped away, and he was brought to his knees. And we think of unbeatable societies that we thought were indestructible. Humanity, Rome, Greece, as powerful as they were, and yet they were brought to their knees, and now we visit their ruins. And you know what? This thing that has come upon us at the moment, it's amazing. It's no respecter of persons. Here in Spain, we find ourselves in a situation where I feel like the government is taking it really, really serious, because the president's wife has contracted a coronavirus, and so has the vice president's wife. The politicians in Iran, the politicians have gotten it. And it is amazing how it doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Chinese, it doesn't matter whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're high in society, low in society, whether you're from this last name or that last name, whether you're a Jew or non-Jew, it doesn't matter what your belief system is. The reality is that this virus is no respecter of persons. Our frailty is the human race. We are frail. We are dust. But it's so encouraging to me that God knows that, and he remembers that, and he has mercy on us because he knows that we are just dust. And the reality is that we love to be in control. You know, I had a trip on Monday to Peru. That's canceled. I have a trip in June. I think that's canceled. Our dear friend Brenda had a trip in June, and the hotel shut down in New York City until the 15th of June. We had plans for the season. Here in Mallorca, the restaurants were beginning to open to enjoy Easter, and that is closed. Flights are being canceled. Holidays are being thwarted. So many things. We have no control. The verse in the scriptures has never been truer. A man plans his way, but God determines his steps. And here we are. We love to be in control of our lives, but we really do not know in many ways what tomorrow holds. We don't know it health-wise. We don't know it financial-wise. And the stock markets are going crazy because they don't understand what is happening. And there's tremendous pain going on. Like I said, there's the restaurants, there's the stocks. There's people losing everything all in one go. We have a couple ladies at church who have just going through cancer, and they're having to go to the hospitals for chemo. And their immune system's at the lowest that they can be, and yet they have to go there. And you could see the pain of the probability, the possibility of losing, having to leave this their children behind, or if something happened, as low as their immune systems are, or the father's feeling like, man, what if I lose my wife? We have people in Italy and here in old folks' homes who people are not able, the families are not able to hug their loved ones before they pass away. They're not able to say goodbye. They're in hospitals. They're just there, and no one can go to see them. and one in the Italian news, and one, some of the doctors are saying the saddest thing is that people know that they are dying and they're dying alone. It is a very painful thing to know that someone is somewhere in a room in a hotel and you're not able to go say goodbye. It is painful times, and it is painful times that fill our hearts with fear. And you know, I mean, of course, we have very well-meaning, cliches, people sometimes that is like, oh, we shouldn't be afraid. And the Christian, if you are a strong Christian, you faith is in contrast with fear. And I understand that. But you know what? In the Bible, there's a continuous aspect of God where he speaks into people's life, into the strongest of believers, and he says to them, do not be afraid. I mean, who is stronger as Christians are concerned than the Apostle Paul? And yet in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that shipwreck, the Lord appeared to him and said, do not be afraid. He was afraid. God wouldn't say that to him unless he was afraid. You think of Elijah, and as powerful as he was, how he ran away into a cave and he was afraid. You think of Joshua as he takes the new command of Israel. And in chapter 1 of Joshua, it's a continuous, do not be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. And the reason that God says this to people is because fear is a common emotion in humanity. And although it is a common emotion in humanity, it is not something that should rule us. We should allow God to comfort us. We should allow the fixing of our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We should allow him, we should allow his spirit to strengthen us, to fill our lives not just with hope, but with a living hope. Not just with hope that everything's going to be okay, but with hope that whether we live or whether we die, everything will be okay because he is our refuge. And this is where we need our lives filled with faith. But not empty faith. Not just faith in faith. Not just trying to muster up more faith, more belief in nothing. But rather that we would have faith in that one which has all the power and all the ability to bring peace to our hearts, to bring forgiveness for our wrongs and our unthankfulness, to bring hope into our hearts beyond death. And you know what I was thinking is I was thinking about times of pain in the Bible. And I think about that song that we've also often sang. And before I was a Christian, I remember hearing it in nightclubs. And I remember in nightclubs hearing, by the rivers of Babylon. Sorry for my voice. There we sat down. And there we sang as we remember, there we wept as we remembered Zion. And it's such a happy tune. And yet it is a psalm, Psalm 137, and it was a painful psalm. It was a painful time that the Jewish people were going through. It says that they had been taken captives. Many people had died. And he says that as they were being taken captive to Babylon, they sat down by the river and they just wept. And people were asking him, come on, sing a happy song. Sing a song of Zion. And they were like, how can we sing? How can we sing? And it was a painful time in the times of the captivity, of the Babylonian captivity. And yet we have these glimpses, these rays of faithfulness from God, of hope, of faith that came during those times. It was Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:22 that said, through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And in this case, the salvation actually took years. And they had to settle where they were. They had to settle to a new way of life. But the reality is salvation was coming. But notice that in their fear, in their pain, in their frailty, in their lack of control, they were able to see the faithfulness of God. And I wonder how many of us have just trusted in things that are not worth trusting. We have set our hope in things and in how the business would be this year and how our health would be if we just took our vitamins. If we just thought, man, the medical system's so amazing that, man, they're going to eradicate cancer. They're going to hold our hearts in their hands and we will live till we're 100, 120, we'll be jogging around. And yet all of a sudden, we realize that we put our hope in man. That we put our hope in things of this world, in things that ultimately have an end. And all this reveals our great need for God. It is an amazing thing that we find ourselves in this situation. Like I said, it makes us think, this morning I woke up with a sore throat. One of the first symptoms of this stuff, of this coronavirus, is a sore throat. You can imagine my mind, my heart being filled with fear. Oh, then afterwards, it's supposed to be a cough. I've been coughing. After that, it's supposed to be fever. And next thing you know, I'm thinking, what about my children? What about my wife? What if? What if not? But this brings me to think and reflect on that which matters most, which is the fact that we did not make ourselves, but He made us. It is Lincoln, President Lincoln of the United States, says that I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that all about me seemed insufficient for that day. Look, President Lincoln, going through the Civil War, he would go and visit the soldiers, dying soldiers everywhere. And he says, I would be brought to my knees to pray because I had nowhere else to go. Again, many of you here on the island, many of you, you know, in Spain and in Italy, many of you don't know what's going to happen, where you're going to get income. I was seeing on Facebook how many of the singers, they're going to be singing online. They were supposed to be performing this summer and make their living that way. And all of a sudden, there will be, at least for now, none. At least not in hotels. And this should bring us to a place where we're able to call on Him who can help. It is so amazing. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107, it is crazy to me to read this psalm. It's always been special to me. And I cannot go through it. It's a long one. But, you know, it talks about the children, about Israel when they left the wilderness, when they went into the wilderness and they were perplexed. And it says that they call on the name of the Lord and God answered. And he saved them. And then it says, oh, the man would give thanks to the Lord. And then it says that those that are rebellious, they rebelled against the Word of God. The Word of God was clear and they paid no attention to it. And they actually knew what it said and walked directly against it. And it says that they found themselves in trouble and they called on the name of the Lord. And you know, it says that God heard them and He saved them. And then it says, oh, then men would give thanks to the Lord. And then it talks about the fools because of the transgressions, their foolishness, not even thinking about things. They got into trouble without thinking about life. And then they call out on the name of the Lord and they were rescued. And then the psalm goes, oh, the man would give thanks to the Lord. And then it talks about the sailors and those in nature and how the waves go up and they go down in the seas and they wheel to and fro from one side to the other. And they're wondering, are we going to survive this? How will we survive this season? How will we survive this week? How will we survive this hour? And it says they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered them, and he rescued them. And you know, these amazing, extraordinary circumstances have a wonderful way of bringing us to our knees, like Lincoln, because we have nowhere else to go. And that we will call on the name of the Lord, on him who is faithful, on he who is loving, he who is kind, who he remembers that we are dust. And that we would realize that he is alive and he will answer. That we would have that moment with him, where he brings us to our knees and we leave aside religion, whether it's lighting candles, whether it's maybe giving just a little bit to God's thing, or maybe we just do some spirituality, but actually that we have an encounter with Jesus. It says that Mary had that encounter. It says that Martha was so busy about life and she's complaining, well, what about Mary? What about Mary? Tell her to come help me. And Mary is there just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she's listening. And Jesus says to Martha, she has chosen the right thing. She knew who was there. She knew who could help. And she was at his feet. That we would have a Mary moment. That we would have a Solomon moment. This man Solomon, the king of Israel, he had everything. Pleasure. He was intelligent, a reader. He had wealth. He had everything you could ever imagine. And yet he sought the vanity in everything. And then he came to the conclusion, the only thing worthwhile in life is God. To fear him. To know him. That we would have our Job moment where he, after complaining, after questioning God, why is this happening to me? I've been a good person. And other people saying to him, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. After that, the Lord embraces him and he says, now brace yourself like a man. I'm going to question you and you will answer me. And then Job has that moment with the living God. And he says, oh my goodness, Lord, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you, and I repent in dust and ashes. Oh, that you would have that moment with him. That you would realize that what does it profit you if you gain everything? If we have all the stability of the world, it can be removed in one moment. It can be removed in a second. What does a prophet, a man, said Jesus, if he gained the whole world and he lost his soul? How many people would give their wealth away for the sake of life? And here, in many ways, maybe everything will be taken away. And you know, I realize in some parts of the world, there's still a lightheartedness about it. But there's no lightheartedness about it in Italy, when 800 people died. When we live day in and day out in fear that my in-laws that are living there might get some visitor with the coronavirus, or that they might go to the supermarket and just touch the wrong thing. And to watch my wife just well up with tears every time she hears about what's going on there. The soul of man, your soul is the most important thing in your life. That is who you are when everything else is taken away. When your wife, your children, your wealth, that is who you are. You will depart with that alone. And now it is time for us to realize that God knows that we are just dust. Do you realize we are frail? Do you realize that we have no real control of our lives? Do you realize that we're loved, that Jesus came to rescue us, not just from the coronavirus, but from the great virus of our hearts. You know, here in Spain, we were having daily press conferences where the Minister of Defense and the Ministry of Health comes, and just the different people, and they're sharing with us every single day what is going on, what measures are being taken. And the one thing they keep saying and they keep emphasizing, things are going to get worse. We're quarantined, but things will get worse. Do not get discouraged when they get worse. They will get worse. But eventually, in 10 days, in 14 days, in 3 weeks, we should reach the peak and everything should be going down. And I was struck by that. Because Jesus himself, I mean, the reason they're telling us that ahead of time is so that when it happens, we don't panic. And Jesus, he said the same things when he walked on earth. When he walked on earth, he said there would be wars, there would be rumors of wars, there would be pestilences. And he said this, don't be alarmed when that happens, but look up, because your redemption is near. And by no means do I feel like this is the last thing. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I feel like these are things that help us to look up to our Redeemer, to look up to him who is the true Savior, who is the true stability in our life. Everything else is shaken. On Friday, there was a Europe-wide agreement among all the radio stations that they would play the Liverpool football team's anthem. I think that's what it's called, an anthem. It is where all the fans sing. And I could just imagine, I mean, to me, it's one of my favorite football anthems. And you know, just how much encouragement it brings. And look what it says here. Walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. And you know, it's amazing. And I'm so amazed at humanity at the moment. I think it's so amazing that we're pulling together, that you see the doctors risking their lives, that you see the police risking their lives. We lost 2 police officers in the last couple of days here in Spain from coronavirus. And it's so amazing to watch in Italy the people singing songs on the balconies. But I was really struck by Brazil. In Brazil, they went out to the balconies and they began to worship Jesus. Because the reality is that we can walk with one another, but we cannot save ourselves. Jesus is the one that came to save. You know, I have this wonderful little Bible that I love. I've read it several times and I've read it to my children many times. And listen to what it says, because in many times we think, of course, as humanity, we can do many things. But listen, one day everyone is talking about Babylon, when the world was building the Tower of Babylon. It says one day everyone was talking and they came up with an idea. Let's build ourselves a beautiful city to live in. It can be our home. And we'll be safe forever and ever. Then they had another idea. And let's build a really tall tower to reach up to heaven. Yes, they said. We'll say, look at us up here. And everyone will look at us. And we'll look down on them. And then we'll know we are something. We'll be like God. We'll be famous and safe and happy. And everything will be all right. So they got to work, brick by brick. The tower grew higher and higher until it soared above the city, touching the sky. They built stairs in the tower to climb to the top. It was like a giant staircase to heaven. Look, they cheered. We're the ones. See what we can do on our very own, with our very own hands. They were quite pleased with themselves, but God wasn't pleased with them. God could see what they were doing. They were trying to live without him. But God knew that that wouldn't make them happy or safe or anything. If they kept on like this, they would only destroy themselves, and God loved them too much to let that happen. So he stopped their plans. You see, God knew, however high they reached, however hard they tried, people could never get back to heaven by themselves. People didn't need a staircase. They needed a rescuer, because the way back to heaven wasn't a staircase. It was a person. People could never reach up to heaven, so heaven would have to come down to them. And one day, he would. You know, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that we're going to pull through this. I have no doubt that we will rebuild. I have no doubt that we will have pain. I have no doubt, though, that Jesus will answer our prayers, and he will help us in our time of need. My doubt and my encouragement to us today is that when we come through to the other side, will we give thanks to the Lord? Will we realize Psalm 23? Because, you know, this Liverpool hymn is great. I love it. I mean, I just think it's such an amazing thing. And I think it leaves out God. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Maybe you are losing everything if we speak. Financially. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's going to be your life. But I want to tell you this, the Lord Jesus came. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, while he was sweating drops of blood because of his distress, because of the suffering that he would go through for you and for me, he said, "If there be any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me." And what he was saying is there would be any other way for us to have forgiveness. If there be any other way for us to have victory over death. If there be any other way for us to be able to be reconciled to him. If there be any other way for us to be able to have eternity with him. Let this cup pass from him. And you know what? There was no other way. He went through. And we see Jesus on the cross, and we think to ourselves, what does that have to do with us? I tell you what, it has everything to do with us. He died. He died so that he would be the author and the finisher of our faith. He died and he rose again. They ate with him. They talked with him. They watched him ascend. They were destroyed. The disciples, the people that loved them, they were destroyed. All hope was done. They lost everything they thought that was stable. And yet in the resurrection of Jesus and in the death of Jesus, they found a stability that nothing will be able to shake again in their lives. And I want to encourage you, Mallorca. I want to encourage you, Santa Ponsa Community Church. It's okay to be afraid, but allow the Lord Jesus to strengthen you. What we're going through is not hid from Him. He gives strength to the weak. We grow weary. He never grows weary. He strengthens us. He will strengthen us. And He wants relationship with us. May God bless you. May you in these difficult times find that you will never walk alone. And that you would open your heart. That you would open up your heart to Him. He is so near in times of need. If you would just get on your knees and you would say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I've trusted in everything but you. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Bring peace to my heart in this situation. Help me to understand your word. Help me to enjoy your company through your spirit. Fill my life with a living hope that whether I live, whether I die, whether I go through pain, that I know that there's a living hope that death will never be able to destroy. May God bless you, and may you find yourself in these troublesome times, finding that God is much more merciful, much more kind, much more loving, much more present than we ever imagined, and that we find ourselves in fellowship with Him. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, if there's anybody here, Lord, listening today that doesn't know you on this Sunday morning, we pray that you will reveal yourself to them. That here in Mallorca, as we are being affected like the rest of the world, that wherever we're at, whether we're in a hospital bed, whether we are in a room quarantined by ourselves, whether we are in a house with our families, whether we're wondering if we'll ever be able to get off our feet, whether we ever get out of debt, whatever it is, that we will give our lives to you. That we would realize that we in you we can have a stability. That we in you we can have company. In you we can have hope. Oh Lord, meet people right where they're at. I cannot touch anybody, but you can. I am away from people, but you're not. We ask, Father, bless people in the depths of their soul. In these times where we realize our frailty, that we're dust, help us to realize that you're worth relying on. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Jesus, the name above every name.